All right. You know what? I love that, because a lot of times we're making New Year's resolutions during this time. But what if this year it was more of a revolution, right? Some of you are like, I remember that Beatles time in my life, and you're feeling it. But, you know, in just a few days, we're going to all witness, millions of people around the world are probably going to be watching the TV screens as a giant apple falls from the sky as we count down in New York City to a brand new year. And it's hard to believe that we're entering into 2020. Isn't that crazy? 2020. I was talking to somebody earlier, and I realized, wow, that means that I feel so much older now, right? Because we're changing a new decade. It's hard to believe that we're kind of, every year we pass the torch from one year to the next, and we give thanks to God for what He's done in our lives, but we look ahead. But man, this just feels like a big one, doesn't it? And I was thinking about this as we start a new decade. You know, the great thing about a new year and a new decade is in a lot of ways it feels like it gives us hope. It gives us this opportunity of a fresh start. And so what a lot of people will do is they'll make these New Year's resolutions. You know, they'll start a new diet plan. Some of you are already thinking about that. Some of you are going to start new exercise plans. Some of us are going to have new schedules and new, you know, habits, and we're going to do new things. And one of the hashtags you see around on Twitter and social media is this hashtag New Year, New You, right? New Year, New You. And it sounds really good until we get to February, and it's like, oh man, it's a new year, but it's the same old me. And the problem is, so many times what we do is we pick things to focus on and we try to do those with our own willpower and with our own effort. Pull yourself up with your own bootstraps. And there's some of that that's good. All that's fine, but here's the thing. What if this year we could do something not just with our power, but what if we could really be new by the power of God? What if this year we decided that we weren't going to just have these superficial goals that are just going to change the outside of us and leave us the same as we are, that we were before? But what if this year we picked something to focus on that could make an eternal difference in our lives and in the lives of people around us? You know, here's the thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, here's what the Apostle Paul says. Here's some good news. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in other words, nobody excluded if you're in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. The old has gone, the new is here. And so the good news is, when you stop trying to change yourself and you lean into Jesus and into His presence, Jesus actually has the power to make you new. Isn't that good news? He's got the power to make you new. He can give you a new heart and a new spirit. He can give you a new focus and a new life and a new patterns. He can do all that in you. You know, Stephen Covey wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And in that book, he talks about these 7 habits that really successful people tend to do. And one of the habits he talked about is, instead of just kind of, you know, he said, like, successful people don't just magically end up where they were, wherever where they are. They don't just magically show up and they're the person that they always wanted to be. What did they have to do? He says, really, the second truth that he tells people in the book is that we have to begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. And so this year, instead of just kind of floating through the year and hoping, instead of just having fuzzy goals, or instead of just putting makeup on our old life and pretending it's new, right? I believe God wants us to focus on really becoming new in Christ day by day. I believe God wants you to focus on really becoming new. And so here's the challenge for you. What if this year you decided that you were going to live for God like never before? What if this year you decide, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to be about God and His kingdom more than ever before? What might God be ready to do in your life if you did that? See, here's the thing. What would that look like if you made Jesus not just king sometimes, but what if you made Him king of your year? So here's the thing. I was thinking about this. Jesus gives us this secret in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, of how we can do that. And here's what he says. He says, but seek first his kingdom. Whose kingdom? God's kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, what Jesus is saying is, hey, people are worried about what are you going to eat and drink, and worried about all the things in life. But he said, look, instead of focusing on all those things, get the first thing right. Get the main thing right. Seek first God's kingdom and God's being in right relationship with God, and all of a sudden, things in your life start to fall in place. Why? It's because your relationship with God is your primary purpose. God is your source. And so here's the thing. The problem is, so many times in life, we let our primary purpose get hijacked by so many other things that clamor for our attention and really our devotion. I mean, we've got real things. We've got a job to go to. Right? Amen? Right? Some of you remember you got a job, right? Many of us have been laying around on the couch and putting together toys and stuff like that. But we got our job, and we've got our spouse and family, and they're great. And we've got our hobbies and our demands and, you know, all the distractions of life. Everything that's going on is all important to God. But over time, we can miss our primary target. If we get disconnected from our source, then what happens is we miss out on the abundant life that Jesus wants to bring to every single area of our life. This year, I want it to be different, don't you? I want it to be different. And so I was thinking, how can I help you to start 2020 well? How can I help you? And really what I want to show you today is some real ways that you can live more for Jesus and for his kingdom in this new year. And the first thing is this. Number one, I want to encourage you to do this, to work your spiritual disciplines. This is really practical today. Work your spiritual disciplines. Your spiritual disciplines are basically prayer, scripture reading, worship, fasting, taking communion, all sorts of things are spiritual disciplines, but work your spiritual disciplines. See, sometimes we think that spiritual growth and getting closer to God just kind of happens. We get older and all of a sudden we're closer to God. Many of you know that's not the case, right? But the truth is, spiritual disciplines are kind of like the fuel for your soul. It's the fuel for your soul where you feed and you train your spirit. You feed and you train your faith to grow in your relationship with God. Just like an athlete has to run, an athlete has to lift weights in order to get faster and stronger. We got to do this spiritually. We got to flex our spiritual muscles so that we can grow big and strong in our faith. You know, John Wesley, he called the spiritual disciplines the means of grace. The means of grace. Because he understood that these are not just spiritual practices that we do for God. Instead, it's when we do these things, they are a means by which we can receive God's grace. It's a means by which God can actually start to work his grace in and through our lives. In other words, it's kind of like we can work with God so that God can better work in us. We can work with God so God can better work with us. And there's a lot of spiritual disciplines we can talk about, but I want to encourage you to grow in three spiritual disciplines this year. Here's the three. The first one is I want to encourage you to grow in your prayer life. I want to encourage you to grow in your prayer life in this next year. Prayer is just simply talking with God. It's just simply talking with God. It's basically a way that we can cultivate our relationship. And so I want to encourage you if you are not sure about how to pray and how do you do this whole prayer thing and grow in that. We actually did a sermon series in November on the Lord's Prayer called Our Father in Heaven. And I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that if you want help knowing how you can pray and grow in your prayer life. But there's real power when we pray. Here's what Richard Foster once said. He said, prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. It's the central avenue God uses to transform us. In fact, not only does God transform us when we pray, but when we pray, God transforms the world around us because we pray. You know, God changes things and people when we pray. And so, what if this year you decided that you wanted to set a prayer goal for this year? What if this year you decided to set a prayer goal? What does that mean? Well, maybe you're kind of not in a habit of praying and talking with God. And so maybe for some of you, your next step would be, you know what, every day, I'm going to try to spend just a little bit of time talking with God, praying to God. And that may seem really funny at first, but it's kind of one of those things. You learn by doing it. You do it kind of like riding a bike. You don't learn how to ride a bike by reading a book about it. You just get on the bike and you start learning, right? But maybe for you, prayer is already part of your life. Maybe this year your goal is, I want to involve my family more in my prayer life. Like, I want to involve my family to be praying together as a family. Maybe there's something specific that's been going on in your life or in your household, or maybe for our church, and you just want to be more intentional about praying specifically for those things. Maybe that's a prayer goal for you. Here's the second spiritual practice I want to encourage you to grow in. Number two is scripture reading. Scripture reading. You know, this is probably one of the best ways that you can know God is to get into His Word, to get into God's Word. And I want to kind of give you a really helpful thing. Instead of telling you how to read the Bible, it's kind of like, just do it, right? But what I'm going to be doing this year is I'm going to be reading through the entire New Testament in this year. I'm going to do it before the year is up. But let me just give you, did you know that if you read one chapter in the New Testament 5 times a week, you read through the entire New Testament in a year? 5 times a week. So you can go on vacation, or you can have a date night, and you didn't do your Bible reading, no big deal, right? But if you read one chapter in the New Testament 5 times a week, you read through the entire New Testament. I want to encourage you to join me in that, because I really believe that the Word of God has the power to transform your life. So maybe you would grow in that. Set time aside and dig in God's Word. And here's the third thing. Number three is this. I want to encourage you to grow in this practice, to be present in weekly worship. Be present in weekly worship. This is one of those things where worship helps you and it helps others. I believe you can worship God anywhere. I do it all the time. I'm in the car or I'm in my office or whatever, and I'm worshiping God, right? But God has a habit of doing His best work in the context of corporate worship. God just has a habit of speaking to His people in corporate worship in ways that go beyond what we can do on our own. And so, like I said last week, worship has a way of opening our eyes so we can see Jesus appropriately. But unfortunately, there's a dangerous trend that's happening in our culture today. And you probably have noticed it. Pastors are talking about it all over the place, and churches are talking about this death tsunami that's coming in 2021, where basically, like, the church and is churches are going down and everything's going down. It sounds like, you know, this angry old man kind of on the, you know, telling people the way it used to be, you know. But the reality is this dangerous trend is happening where people are attending worship less than ever before in this country. And what's happening, even in our area, is people are starting to attend worship less. And what happens is we're seeing one less Sunday or two less Sundays a month nationwide. And what's happening, what happens with that is if you used to attend worship every single week and all of a sudden you're twice a month. Twice a month, all of a sudden, I'm maybe there once a month, right? And what happens is, because we're busy and all sorts of things and activities and stuff like that, so many times things are competing for us in our time. But what happens is we miss out on what God wants to do in and through us every week. And so let me just say this as a parent. If you're a parent, one of the best things you can do for your family is to make worship a priority. I mean, I can't remember a time. I remember growing up, it was never a question in my family whether we were going to church or not. It was never a discussion whether we were going to church or not, you know? Like, I was a teenager, and I was like, do we have to go to church? And they're like, yeah, of course. It's just a matter of which service we're going to, right? And so parents, sometimes we got to pull ourselves up from our bootstraps and put our big boy and girl britches on and make our kids do the important thing so that they can do what and become who God wants them to be, right? So let's make these three habits important in our lives this year, the three spiritual disciplines. Here's the next thing, the second way to make Jesus king of your year is this, 360-degree stewardship. 360-degree stewardship is what I'll call it. And basically, stewardship is basically offering yourself to God. And so 360-degree stewardship, what I'm talking about is really in all areas of our lives to be a good steward of what God has given us and what and who God has made us. Here's what James 1:17 says. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. See, the truth is, everything that you have belongs to God. Every gift, every talent, everything. And so being a steward means that you recognize that God owns it all, and you just try to use it as wisely and as effectively for God as you can. And so 360-degree stewardship, what does that mean? It means being a good steward or a manager of everything. Basically, talking about three areas: our time, our talent, our treasure. Our time, our talent, our treasure. Let's talk about this. The first thing is steward your time. I want to encourage you to steward your time. You know, everybody's got the same amount of time, but you decide how to use it. And the truth is, we all have stuff that we're required to do. We all have things that we have to do, but too often we let other things and other people hijack how we really should be spending our time. And so one of the things you can ask yourself is this: ask yourself this question. Am I spending time towards what matters most to me? Am I spending my time toward what matters most to me? See, sometimes in trying to build a life for our families, we end up letting our work or some other thing take have all the time, and we end up missing things that are important. I read this quote on the internet from Kerry Newhoff, and it really spoke to me. It challenged me. Maybe it will you. He said this. He says, if you're winning at work but losing at home, you're losing. And I was like, thank you, Kerry, for giving me a 2x4 over the head, right? If you're winning at work but losing at home, you're losing. And so here's the question. Maybe it means in this next year we have to reprioritize how we're using our time. Will you be a good steward of your time? Here's the second thing. I want to encourage you to steward your talents. Steward your talents in this next year. Basically, your gifts. You all have gifts and talents and your personality that God wants to use. Let me ask you this question. How are you using what God has given you, the talents and the gifts that God has given you? See, if you haven't joined a serve team before, that might be a great way to start in this new year. I really believe that, God has made us to serve. And I love it that you don't have to find the perfect use for your gifts in every circumstance, but just find a way to leverage some of your gifts for God and for others. And so you could go serve coffee or serve in our kids' ministry or our youth ministry or hold doors open for people as they come in the doors, whatever, but give yourself away for the sake of others. And the third thing is, I want to encourage you to steward your treasure. Steward your treasure. And I think this is the most challenging part for so many of us, but your financial stewardship is so important to God. In fact, God wants us to do three things. God wants us to live within our means. He wants us to save for a rainy day, to be wise stewards that way. And he wants us to also give generously. And the Bible plan that's really, taught throughout Scripture kind of goes like this: 10-10-80. 10-10-80. So we give to God our first tenth, our first 10%. Basically like, God, I'm giving you my best. And then we save 10%, and then we live on the rest. And man, if we lived like that, man, it would change the way some of us live. Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven. And so it's important to God, because Jesus knew that your financial stewardship is often the place where we're tempted to trust God the least. But did you know that there is incredible power to impact God's kingdom? You have been given incredible power to impact God's kingdom in our church and in our community with your financial resources. You have. I mean, it's interesting, because there's so much ministry that happens here, and it would not happen without your faithful generosity. And so thank you so much for the way that you make ministry happen here through that. But I believe Jesus wants to do so much more here in and through us. And so I want to invite you in this next year in all three areas to take a step as a steward, right? To take a step in your financial generosity, in the way that you use your time and your talents. So here's the thing. In 1775, John Wesley, he was leading the early Methodists, and every year they would rededicate their lives to God at the end, really at the end of a year or the beginning of a new year. And he would have this covenant prayer that he would lead people in. And the covenant prayer would basically a time where they would recommit their lives to God. I wanted to close today with that covenant prayer that maybe we can say together. Let's go ahead and get that on the screen. Let's go ahead and say this together. And this is basically to say, God, I belong to you. I want to serve you. And I want to follow you greater in this next year. Let's say it together. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O gracious, or glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.